Revolutions Per Minute is a weekly radio show from the New York City chapter of the Democratic Socialists of America, recorded live at WBAI 99.5 in Brooklyn every Tuesday at 5. RPM is about doing the work to build a democratic socialist future. Every week, hear the latest news, analysis, and organizing experience from the minds and hearts of activists fighting every day in NYC. Join the movement at socialists.nyc.
Hi, listeners. You're listening to Revolutions Per Minute on WBAI, a socialist radio show and podcast for members of New York City's Democratic Socialists of America. I'm your host, Desiree Joy Frias, and I use she, her pronouns. Today's episode is all about housing justice. We will discuss universal rent control, last week's housing march, and the tools we have as tenants across New York State to fight back against predatory landlords. But first, the headlines.
Yo, it's good, New York. This is Jack Devine with Revolutions Per Minute's headlines, brought to you by The Thorn. At least 167,000 apartments have been deregulated in the past 26 years due to a loophole that permits landlords to remove a unit from rent regulation as long as they invest in short-term renovations. Housing activists hope to close this loophole, among others, when the state's rent laws are up for renewal in June, and they are organizing to build tenant power. The Housing Justice for All Coalition, an upstate-downstate housing alliance, held a major rally in March in support of the fight for universal rent control this past Thursday. Direct actions will continue to ramp up at least until rent laws expire in June. In electoral politics, the Democratic Socialists of America's National Political Committee put out a statement denouncing the racist incitement from President Trump towards Representative Ilhan Omar and the initially tepid or non-existent defense coming from most Democratic elected officials. While merely pointing out hypocrisy is not a fruitful political strategy, the absurdity of these attacks revealed the moral bankruptcy of the American political class. While reactionaries smear Ilhan Omar for standing up against imperialism, the U.S. national security state is actively working with the people actually responsible for 9/11, the Saudi ruling class and al-Qaeda, to starve the Yemeni people into submission. Never forget that war is a racket. Meanwhile, in more local electoral news, the Queens Democratic establishment continues to try to undermine Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, even though a recent poll identified her as the most popular politician in her Queens and Bronx district. It's almost like they care more about protecting their privileged status than improving the conditions of working people. NYC DSA endorsee Tiffany Caban defeated a legal challenge from former prosecutor Mina Malik that sought to invalidate petition signatures gathered by Caban and three other candidates for Queens District Attorney. You can read more about Tiffany Caban's People Power campaign for Queens DA in the latest edition of The Thorn at thethorn.nyc. Mayor de Blasio announced that he does not support decriminalization of sex work. In response to the growing Decrim NY movement, Manhattan DA Saya Vance and Brooklyn DA Eric Gonzalez stated that they do believe in decriminalization, but advocates firmly dispute the truth of their claims. Sex workers are workers who deserve our solidarity, especially in the face of unrelenting state violence against them. As we've discussed multiple times here in RPM, more than 10,000 nurses have threatened to walk off their jobs this month at three of New York's biggest hospital systems. Last week, the New York State Nurses Association reached a groundbreaking agreement with the hospitals that would lead to the hiring of 1,450 additional nurses and, for the first time, establish minimum ratios of nurses to patients. The vice president of the union declared, "We now have a voice in the process and a real say and real mechanism in which to challenge patterns of staffing shortages and to get those rectified. Direct action gets the goods." Also here in New York, legal services at Canberra Incorporated are on strike until management stops giving bonuses to their executives, who already make $450,000 a year working for a nonprofit, and start giving their staff fair wages and parental leave. In national labor news, 31,000 Stop and Shop workers from over 240 stores in Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island walked off their job this Thursday. This massive worker action comes in response to months of negotiation with Stop and Shop, in which the company has refused to back down from proposals attempting to cut workers' health care, take-home pay, and retirement benefits. labor action in the service sector is spreading beyond New England as well. Workers at the Target in Pikesville, Maryland, have gone on strike after suffering under continuous abuse from management. Remember, never cross a picket line. Don't be a scab. After a rapid response from organizers and workers, the American Museum of Natural History will no longer host a Chamber of Commerce gala intended to honor the fascist Brazilian president Jair Bolsonaro. His only complaint about the Brazilian military dictatorship was that they didn't kill and torture enough people. It's pretty clear whose side the Chamber of Commerce is on. Lula Livre. Now back to Desiree and her live discussion on the campaign for universal rent control.
Our headlines were brought to you by The Thorn, a free weekly newsletter to your email inbox by the New York City DSA Electoral Working Group, and it covers local politics and radical activism. Subscribe at thethorn.nyc. So welcome to our episode on housing justice. My name is Desiree Joy Frias. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm on the organizing committee for the Bronx Upper Manhattan branch. As we all know, the rent is too high. It outstrips what we can afford based on our incomes. 100 people a day across New York State are evicted from their homes, and thousands sleep homeless every night, despite there being enough empty units in New York City to house them. Here in the studio with me is Sia Weaver. She uses she, her pronouns, and she's a member of the Central Brooklyn branch and working group coordinator for the steering committee. Sia, tell me a little bit about your work and what you do.
Okay, so I am a member of the New York City DSA Steering Committee, where I coordinate our working groups. And what that means, if you're not a NYC DSA member, is it means that I work on coordinating our campaigns. One of our biggest campaigns right now is our campaign for universal rent control. We're going to spend this whole show talking about it, so I don't want to spend too much time. But I will say that this is a really groundbreaking campaign to strengthen and expand renters' rights in New York State in the next 10 weeks, and NYC DSA is excited to play a part of it.
Here also in the studio is Dennis Osorio. He uses he, him pronouns, and he's also a member of the Bronx Upper Manhattan branch. Dennis, tell me a little bit about why you want to talk about housing.
Sure. I live in East Harlem in New York City, where I have a preferential rent for my apartment, which infuriates me and definitely feeds my housing activism.
Great. So the reason why we're having this discussion today about rent control is that there are 9 bills on the floor of the New York State Legislature, both in the Assembly and the Senate, and the Housing Justice for All Coalition is demanding that elected officials pass all 9 together and is not allowing them to cherry pick which ones they want to support. As this ramps up, the people who are involved are not only tenants here in New York City, but across New York State. And the coalition has made it clear that we're going to work together as tenants across the state, from New York City to Rochester, to make sure that things change for everybody and everybody has access to housing. Sia, did you want to say anything else about the Housing Justice Coalition?
Sure. I mean, I would just add that, you know, we are, I'm in addition to being a member of DSA, I'm the campaign coordinator for the Housing Justice for All Coalition. And I think, Desiree, what you said is exactly right. This is a statewide movement because it's a statewide problem. And we are excited to be in coalition with DSA chapters across the state and also with tenant groups across the state. Something that I think makes this coalition special is that we're also organizing alongside homeless New Yorkers who have been pushed out of their homes thanks to weak tenants' rights. So we're calling to strengthen tenants' rights, but we're also calling to really invest in ending homelessness in New York State, which is something that we're going to talk about.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about the march later that we went to on Thursday. But Dennis, what how did you feel going to that housing march last Thursday?
It was a really good feeling. It was a really nice way to summarize the last couple of weeks and months where people have been, you know, like talking to neighbors, talking to neighbors, people knocking on doors, making phone calls. It was a really powerful event. I really enjoyed seeing that many people in the room.
Great. And I think one of the biggest issues with housing insecurity is the amount of stress and trauma that it puts on renters, not knowing how much their rent is going to be next month, if they're going to be allowed to live where they currently live next month, if their landlord's going to try to evict them between now and then. And Sia, can you talk a little bit about like how tenants have been hurt by having rent laws that are not strong enough.
Yeah, so in New York City and in New York State, about 1 million households are protected by rent stabilization. And so that means that, in theory, those renters are supposed to be protected by price gouging. They're supposed to have some stability as neighborhoods around them gentrify. Landlords are not supposed to have ultimate power over those homes. But because the rent laws have been so weakened by the powerful real estate industry, they've been sort of poked with loopholes. One of them is preferential rent that that Dennis mentioned. Landlords are able to just really push people out of their homes with astronomical rent increases as a result of major capital improvement increases, which are increases for repairs, individual apartment improvement increases, which are rent increases for sort of local, so in your own apartment repairs. And I think one of the biggest loopholes of them all is that rent stabilization only applies to buildings with six or more units built before 1974 in eight counties. So there's about 5.5 million New Yorkers that don't have any renter protections at all. And that means if they complain about a leak, if they complain about how their landlord is treating them, their landlord can raise the rent or choose to evict them at any time. And it's really means that it weakens tenant power in New York, and it means that too many renters are living, you know, 30 days away from an eviction notice. And I think it's really critical to note here that, 50% of New York tenants can't afford their rent, including 80% of low-income New York renters. And evictions destabilize your whole life. They make it hard to keep your job. They make it hard to get your kid to school on time. They make it hard to choose between healthy food and healthcare. And evictions are really sort of a cause of poverty, not really an effect. If you are evicted and moving from place to place to place, it's hard to ever really build that economic stability that you need to maintain the rest of your life. But unfortunately, in this country, we treat homes as sort of commodities and not as places where people live and build families. And that's one of the things that we're fighting for.
And evictions are very traumatic, not only for the adults going through them, but also for children who don't have a say. And children need consistency and need to stay in the same home and in the same school. And evictions just completely upend their lives just because a landlord wants to ask for $600 more rent, even though our wages didn't go up $600. So we're going to go to a station break now. You're listening to Revolutions Per Minute on listener-sponsored WBAI in New York City, broadcasting at 99.5 FM and streaming on your favorite podcast app. To connect with us after the show, you can email us at revolutionsnyc@gmail.com or sign up for our newsletter to get links to what we talk about on the show. You can do that on our website, revolutionsperminute.simplecast.com. You can also find us on Twitter at NYCRPM. This is Desiree, and I'm here with Sia and Dennis talking about the push for universal rent control. So let me go back to you, Dennis. As tenants, what are we facing in this fight?
Well, we're facing we really need our tenants' protections, right? And we need them stronger than they are right now, and we need them expanded so that they cover all of New York State. That's really what we're fighting for right now is the right to our homes.
And Sia, what tools have landlords been using to oppress tenants?
Yeah, I mean, rent. In New York City, everyone knows one thing, which is that their rent is too high. But the tools that landlords use specifically are tools that were really put into our state laws in 1997. And I'm just going to call out some of them going to do my best not to get too wonky. There's a tool called the Major Capital Improvement Increase, which allows landlords to permanently raise rents for things like roof repairs or boiler repairs, sort of major building system upgrades. Tenants, in addition to paying for that in their rent every month, pay for that in a rent increase forever. There's a tool called preferential rent, which Dennis mentioned, which allows landlords to often fraudulently claim that your quote-unquote legal rent is way higher than what you currently pay, and then jack your rent up another $500 or $600 with almost no notice. And there is a tool called the vacancy bonus, which is a 20% bonus that landlords automatically get when someone moves out of an apartment. That causes tons of tenant harassment because landlords are really incentivized to push people out of their homes so that they can bring in higher paying renters. And I guess really the ultimate tool is deregulation. While about a million households are rent stabilized, there has been a loss of about 400,000 rent stabilized apartments since the early 90s, 1994. And as a result of that, that loss has meant evictions, it's meant displacement, it's meant raising rents, it's meant gentrification. And so we're trying to eliminate deregulation of apartments across the city and the state. And then I guess like the last thing is, you know, all that, those 5.5 million unregulated folks, for them, they don't have any rights at all. So landlords just use the threat of an eviction or the threat of a rent hike to like keep people silent and stop people from organizing. And our good cause eviction bill would eliminate that tool, that really horrible tool.
Yeah, and landlords for decades have used money to fuel lawsuits, hire lobbyists, have bills written in the assembly that are favorable to them. They exploit tax and housing law loopholes to evict people without due cause. But lucky for us, we have our own toolbox as tenants that we can use to fight back no matter where in New York State you are. So some of those tools include advocacy for yourself. And what I mean by advocacy is you're going to document all of the things that your landlord is doing that are illegal. So by calling 311, which is exhausting, but by calling 311, you're filing an official report with the city to say, my pipes are leaking. There is mold in my apartment. There is lead paint in my apartment. And that track record of 311 documentation can then be used in your own lawsuit against your landlord. Another tool that can be used is called rent freeze. Rent freeze is when all the tenants in a building agree that they're not going to pay rent until the landlord repairs the boiler or fixes the elevators. And that's a really powerful tool because you're taking the money directly out of their pockets, and they tend to react pretty quickly to that. So I saw these tools being used while I was growing up because I grew up on the corner of 161 and Grand Concourse in one of the worst slumlord buildings in the Bronx. My landlord was on the slumlord list 20 years running, and his building he never cared for. The elevators were constantly out of repair. There was never heat and hot water because the boiler was never maintained. People had lead paint. People had mold in their apartments. And we fought for 25 years to get basic quality of life back into our lives. And thanks to the work of CASA and Carmen Vega Rivera, they won. But it took 25 years to fight back. And it shouldn't take that much effort for tenants to have basic quality of life where they live, where they're paying rent. So another big tool in the box that was used in my building was to form a tenants association and to canvass our neighbors to see what are they experiencing in their units. How can we help to make it better? So Dennis, can you talk a little bit about what canvassing is?
Sure. So the important thing to note is that any one of us can be a canvasser. You might be a canvasser and not even realize it. Basically, it's about being the person who invites other people into a campaign or ideally into a larger movement. Now, this can be about passing legislation like our universal rent control legislation platform, or it could be about building group power to pressure a landlord who won't make needed repairs, just like the example you mentioned. Now, you can invite people into this work by phone. You can do this by ringing doorbells. Really, at the crux of it, it's about talking to people. Those people could be coming off the subway. They could be waiting at a bus stop. It's really about talking to people about the important issues.
And an important thing to note, too, is your neighbors are not only the neighbors in your building. It's very likely if you live in an apartment building in New York City that your landlord owns other apartment buildings where people may be facing similar hardships. And coming together between buildings against a landlord really is a great way to build power. Right, Dennis?
That's right. That's right. It's a way to build power within your community as well. You know, it starts with finding people that are angry and concerned around the same issues as you. It's about inviting them into having a public relationship with you and your campaign. The beautiful thing is it makes like an abstract issue like housing less abstract. It makes politics like more personal. You know, it's about building, making that personal connection to politics and movement work.
Yeah, and a great space to hold these tenant meetings or right in the lobby of your building.
That's right.
So just meet people where they are, and it'll be very easy to convince people that to fight for changes because people are really suffering the way things are right now. So what we're going to talk about next is the Moral March for Housing, which two of us were at on Thursday. And it was a direct action, which is another tool in our tenants' toolbox.
I think thousands of us were there.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So last Thursday, April 11th, 1,000 people filled Abyssinian Baptist Church and then the streets to declare that housing is a human right. Direct action, marching, protests, picketing are all tools in our tenants' box that we can use to put pressure on elected officials who then can change things. So now we're going to move into interviews from that housing march.
Last week, Thursday, on April 11th, there was a large rally and march for universal rent control up in Harlem. It started at the Abyssinian Baptist Church, where we went to hear from people about the fight for affordable housing in our city. We talked to many people from all over who are afraid of losing their homes. Here's Roberto from Brooklyn.
I'm from 522 Metropolitan Avenue. That's in Brooklyn, Metropolitan Union. Getting involved was no choice. I felt that it was a moral duty to do this. We're being displaced by the high rents. Myself, I feel at risk of losing my home. The building where I live in right now is in the foreclosure proceedings. And I know for a fact that there is a case right now pending in New York State where landlords are using foreclosure to do away with leases. Now, if this happens, all of us can be in danger of losing our apartment. My wife has been involved longer than I have, but for a long time I lived in this vacuum thinking, well, it doesn't affect me, and look the other way. But when you realize that it's not about just you, but the people around you, and that's a moral issue. That's why we're here today.
So that was a tenant in Brooklyn. Here's a tenant from the Bronx describing what he's facing.
One of the problems we have is with the MCI increase that the land is giving us, which happens to, if you have four rooms and the land is spent $170,000 in repair, each room you have to pay something like $13.50, and if it's four rooms, it would be a total of $54 increase in your rent monthly until you die, because they will never take that off from you.
So it's the way that, like, the landlords are adding prices on people's rents because they're doing, quote-unquote, improvements?
Correct. Whenever they do an improvement, they want to charge it to us, which it doesn't belong to us. The building belongs to him. He's supposed to be the maintenance. We pay the rent. Why do we have to pay for the repairs when we're not going to be entitled to any share of that? And a lot of our tenants can't afford it. And what happened? That's an easy way to displace the tenants out of the building. And that's exactly what they want to do right now in the Bronx.
We also talked to people who had already lost their homes in this crisis. Here's a tenant from Manhattan.
Denise, you want to tell our listeners a little bit about who you are?
Well, I currently live in a family shelter. And the reason why I'm there, before I entered the shelter, I was double up in my mom's apartment. She wanted me out, and I had to go to shelter.
Can you give our listeners a sense of the scope of displacement that you understand in the city?
Yes. Besides the people who also live in the shelter with me, I go to a job training program, and there's many females that are going through this. They have children, and they're faced with some of the same problems. It's hard to get a voucher sometimes that will support the family scope. And it seemed like an impossible road.
The displacement that Denise is talking about is seen across the city.
My name is Maribel Lopez, and I'm with Southside United Los Sures. We're an organ tenant organization from Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Right. Being a rent-stabilized tenant for many years, when they started building new complexes throughout Williamsburg, just the old, you know, the old-time tenants just started being pushed out by market rate rents, harassment, non-repairs. In my case, it was a little bit more, I don't know if I should say it. Okay, so in my case, I was pushed out by tenant harassment.
While most of the bad actors described previously are landlords, we know that politicians are complicit as well. Here are a few people who are fighting them in other ways in our city.
My name is Cliff Elkin, and I live in Inwood. I was involved in the Inwood Legal Act. I'm currently involved in the Inwood Legal Action Campaign, and I was involved in the anti-rezoning campaign for Inwood. And I'm here because I want to see that work continued. Unfortunately, Inwood rezoning passed. The city council didn't listen to us, and I'm continuing the fight, taking it up to Albany now to take the next step and to try and pass these very necessary, important rent regulations that are long overdue.
My name is Josh Barnett. I actually work for the New York City Housing Authority. I'm a shop steward in Local 375, DC 37. And I came here because this is an issue that hits all working people.
What borough do you live in?
I live in Brooklyn, you know.
And how long have you been there?
All my life so far. You know, we've actually had over the past couple of years, people don't believe, in DC 37, 300 people who are homeless. That you can be a full-time union worker in this town and still not be afford a place to live. And, you know, especially working for the Housing Authority, just trying to bring together the public housing residents and the workers and the people who can't find a place to live.
So Cliff just said we were taking the fight up to Albany. We asked people what we were facing.
The corrupt, I will say, I repeat, corrupt politician that taking all that money and get in office all that money so they can stop all those bills. So if they are not helping the affordability, they are helping the people to be homeless. They are working toward the New Yorker to become homeless. You know, it's not about having money, because you, the mayor and the senator and all those people have been putting money to keep the people in shelter instead of keeping them in their apartments.
It's all part of the race towards the bottom. I mean, capitalism has really been pushing people down. Wages have been flatlined for 40 years while the top 1% has gone in all of the gains of the last, you know, and they're taking away the gains of the union movement.
We ask people to think beyond their greedy landlords and corrupt politicians.
Can you tell me what your vision is? Like, what do you think needs to happen for housing in New York?
It to represent the whole community, you know, poor, middle class, you know, that type of thing. And there be some income incentives. I mean, incentives that if you're low income, you still have a place to stay. You're not homeless.
Okay, my vision is for everyone to have equal housing. My vision is for everyone to have rents that they're affordable, rents that they're able to pay, for everybody to have a home in New York City.
Well, I think that the most important thing would be that you need government regulations in the form of various protections and laws, and to not just turn everything over to the free market.
It's about universal rent control, no evictions, and making sure that anybody has a place to live. You know, again, working for NYCHA, we need much more public housing, not less. That's really important to make sure, because it's the only housing that's built just because people need it, not to generate profit.
Well, my biggest demand would be affordable housing. Obviously, the people who can make this happen are up in Albany. If you could say one thing to them, what is it that you'd want to say?
Guys, please put yourselves in our shoes. You guys lived in the community. You guys were born here. Most of you were raised here. You work here. Think about the community that you were brought up in.
I'm here to get justice. Keep those greedy landlords down. We vote for you all. We put you there. Do something or we could vote you out.
It's now or never, because the majority in the Senate was put into power by people who wanted this change. And we are following you. And we want you to carry through on what got you into office.
So, yeah, you mentioned you're in HPD housing. How long have you been there? You don't have to tell me.
35 years.
Wow.
In that one apartment.
So you understand the value of having a stable place to live, a stable community around you.
Yes.
So can you describe for me some, like, those benefits that you would like to see that your children also could have if they had a stable place to live?
Affordability, be able to live with their families and still be able to have food and peace.
You're listening to Revolutions Per Minute on listener-sponsored WBAI in New York City, broadcasting at 99.5 FM and streaming on your favorite podcast app. To connect with us after the show, you can email us at revolutionsnyc@gmail.com or sign up for our newsletter on our website, revolutionsperminute.simplecast.com. You can also find us on Twitter at NYCRPM. My name is Desiree, and I'm here with Sia and Dennis talking about the fight for universal rent control and the campaign to bring housing justice for all. We're going to open up the lines in 10 minutes. Please call us at 212-209-2877. Again, that phone number to call us is 212-209-2877. But first, Sia, I want to talk a little bit more. What is universal rent control? It's such a policy wonky term. What is it in a way we could all understand?
Yeah. So universal rent control is the idea that every renter in the state of New York has the right to live in a safe and stable and affordable home, and that no one should live in fear of a sudden rent hike or in worst case, an eviction. So it's a theory that, renters contribute to our society and they build our communities, and we are renters, and renters have every right to live with the same stability that homeowners do.
So do you believe by implementing universal rent control, the average tenant in New York State could see their rent go down?
So universal rent control, the way that we're talking about it this year, is a package of 9 bills that are about strengthening people's rights to stay in their homes. So I think that rent control is really critical to stopping landlords from overcharging tenants. It's really critical to stopping rent hikes that are making housing unaffordable. And it's really critical to opening the door for some sort of non-speculative housing models like community land trusts and like public housing and like mutual housing associations. And it's really critical because if rent control depresses the price of housing to a price that's based on housing as a place to live and not housing as a commodity, it can help us drive some of these speculative private equity actors out of the market. What we're seeing is corporate landlords are buying up housing from Brooklyn to Buffalo. And in that hyperactive housing market, there's no way your average renter can hang onto their home, and there's no way a group of people who want to form a limited equity or mutual housing co-op can compete.
Yeah. And, as an average everyday tenant with so many things to worry about, especially living in the city, why is it important that I push my elected officials to support these 9 bills?
Yeah, I mean, this is our last chance. I don't want to be too dramatic, but, 10 years ago, 4 people were evicted every day in New York, and today 100 people are evicted every day in New York. That's too much. And on June 15th, 2019, our rent regulation laws will expire. And that seems scary, but it's also our moment of leverage. And it's our moment to take all that power that we had in the church at the Moral March for Housing on Thursday and direct that right at Albany and say, it's tenants who are the real constituents of New York State government. It's not landlords. There's way more of us than there are of them.
That's right.
And we've had some really successful wins behind us. We kicked out some real estate state senators. We are really just moving the ball down the road. And I think it's a really important moment given how much power Albany has, or real estate has in Albany, to make sure that that powerful tenant movement holds those sort of crooked elected officials, as Corinne from the Northwest Bronx said, those crooked politicians accountable.
And landlords are not your constituents, elected official. For the most part, many of these landlords don't even live in New York City. They'll live out of the city, in Long Island, whatever. We're your constituents, and we're the ones who live here and have to deal with whatever landlords choose to give us. And it's just not sustainable, as Sia said, moving forward. We cannot keep living like this. So, Dennis, let's touch a little bit more about canvassing and talk about how someone can start their own canvas.
Sure. Well, about starting your own canvas, the key thing to keep in mind is that the focus is about having conversations with people, right? And inviting them in to participate. It's nice to have an ask, something to ask them as you're knocking on doors, right? Or making phone calls or whatever it is. Maybe to come out to an event. Maybe to sign a petition. Maybe to come to a meeting. It's nice to have clipboards, petitions. It's good to have flyers, but none of these things are really necessary. You know, what's really important is, again, it's really about those conversations. And your willingness to take time to have those conversations is actually a really important cue, which signals that this issue is important, and important enough for you to take your time to talk to people about it. But one of my goals when I'm canvassing is that the people I meet on the doors become door knockers themselves. The other thing that's important about door knocking or canvassing in general or having these conversations, it's a two-way conversation, right? You're not just giving information, but you're actually listening to the concerns of the people that you're speaking with, the concerns of those tenants. You know, it's easy to think that you know what they're facing, but, you know, you don't really know until you ask and until you speak with them.
And it does give you an opportunity to really intervene and do what you can to help out with what they're going through. Also give them the agency to fight their landlord.
Exactly.
Against what they're going through. So, but what are some of the challenges that you face in canvassing? what makes canvassing hard sometimes?
Sure. Well, you know, to start with, the weather doesn't always cooperate. The second challenge I've noticed is some of us receive so many salespeople coming to our doors that just getting someone to open the door is the first challenge. Secondly, making the connection between the conditions in a given building and making that connection between that building and that specific tenant to larger changes playing out in that neighborhood, like gentrification or rezoning, making those connections to larger issues like legislation. That legislation, after all, is the backdrop upon which all those things are occur, right? So it's easy to complain about your specific building. It's easy to complain about your specific neighborhood. People don't always make the connection to the larger issues, which is one of my goals, is to help piece those together. Now, sometimes you're are mobilizing or trying to pass laws, and those are somewhat like short-term door-knocking relationships that you're building. What your goal is to build longer-term relationships in many cases, especially since this is a housing movement, not a moment. So that's sometimes a challenge, right? The other challenge, the final challenge I want to mention is that you don't only want to focus on people that are already interested in politics. The goal really is to organize the unorganized, you know, especially those that are most directly impacted by any given issue. I would say that social and economic racial justice demands equity-based approaches. And in many cases, the people most at risk, most directly impacted by any given issue, are not exactly participating in politics, let alone movement politics. And that's exactly who we need to be inviting into our movements. So those are the challenges.
And I think it's good to remember that, again, as tenants across New York State, we have a toolbox. We have a series of things that we can do to fight our landlords. That includes rent freezes as a building or as everyone in the building, direct lawsuits against your landlord, 311 documentation, and making sure that you keep copies of all of their confirmations that they send you. We also have canvassing, which Dennis just spoke a little bit about, or organizing in your own building with your neighbors. But there's also another side, which is direct action and putting direct pressure on elected officials, which Sia will have a chance to talk to you about now with a trip to Albany that's coming up.
Yeah, so I want to invite everyone to join us in Albany. Like Desiree said, tenants have an amazing set of tools in to protect their rights and to strengthen their rights in New York City and New York State. But the reality is if you don't have those rights, it's really hard to organize without retaliation. Imagine if your lease was going to be revoked or your rent was going to be increased just because you called 311 or you'd knocked on your neighbor's door. And that's the situation for far too many renters. They are retaliated against simply for speaking up for their basic human right to a home. So this upcoming Albany, this upcoming May and June, we're trying to change all of that. We're taking lots of trips to Albany to make sure that elected officials remember who it is that they're supposed to be representing in the state capitol. So our next big, so there's lots of things you can do. Every Tuesday, and today is Tuesday, is Tenant Tuesday from now until we win. And on hashtag Tenant Tuesday, we're asking folks to share their stories of renting in New York State on social media. Using the hashtag Tenant Tuesday. So please do that. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at housingforallny.org or at housingforallny on Twitter or housingjusticeforall.org. And you can also follow DSA's housing working group at DSA_housing. And our next big Albany trip is on May 14th. So please save the date. It's going to be a really, really critical day where unions and tenants from across the state are joining us in the Capitol to make sure our real estate governor, I don't like to say his name because he knows who he works for, and it's unfortunately the real estate industry, we're going to be holding that guy accountable. So we need you there with us. To sign up for the bus, you can go to bit.ly/busalbany, and you can sign up. So I hope that you can join us.
And we'll also include all this information in our next newsletter, so make sure to sign up for that. So we have about 15 minutes left in the show. We'd like to invite you to call in and talk to us about housing. Please give us a call at 212-209-2877. Again, that number is 212-209-2877. And I want to talk about the personal effect of housing insecurity on us. Like, what have you experienced? What are you currently going through? How has not having proper protections, proper laws protecting us affected your life? Because I think it's important that we share those stories of what we're experiencing. So, Sia, the other thing that I wanted to ask you about the trip to Albany, so you guys have already done a few of those. Mm-hmm. What has come out of it? How have mm-hmm. politicians responded to this bus full of
angry tenants?
I was going to say motivated,
inspired,
emphatic tenants coming to their jobs mm-hmm. and saying, "Hey, my taxes pay your bills. Why don't you be a little more accountable to me?"
Yeah, so it's been really great. So unfortunately, too many people still think that this is a New York City-only crisis. The eviction rate is higher in Rochester, New York, than it is in New York City. The poverty rate is higher. It's a statewide crisis. So I'm happy because we've been calling for the state legislature to really be accountable to the tenant movement and to think about this as a statewide crisis. We're not all the way there yet. Last week, the state assembly came out in favor of 8 out of our 9 bills. I don't trust.
Which was the ninth that they didn't want.
Yeah, they didn't come out in favor of good cause eviction. And good cause eviction is the most expansive bill on our platform that underlies and protects all of it. Without the right to a renewal lease, everything else just isn't as strong.
And what is good cause eviction?
Good cause eviction is a right to a renewal lease at a limited rent increase based on the consumer price index. So it allows tenants across the state, not just tenants who live in rent stabilized apartments in New York City, to organize. And it allows tenants to stand up against corrupt and speculative landlords and slumlords for better living conditions in their homes. It protects tenants who are living in gentrifying neighborhoods so that investment doesn't necessarily have to mean displacement. And so it's really the strongest bill on our platform that underlies all of this. And the State Assembly didn't come out in support of that one last week, even though they came out in support of eight other bills. So we're still pushing. You know, I think that 8 out of 9 is pretty good, but it's not enough, and we're going to keep pushing. And the only way to do that is folks come with us to Albany.
That's great. And Dennis, do you have any canvassing coming up that you want to invite people to, or any projects that you're working on for housing?
Well, we are taking a break this upcoming Sunday based on, you know, there's a religious holiday that is coming up that we're not going to be. So typically it's every Sunday in the Bronx, centered around White Plains Road, around the neighborhood of like 233rd to 219th Street, roughly. That's pretty exciting, but we are taking a break this upcoming Sunday because it's a religious holiday after all. We'll be back at it immediately every Sunday between 1 and 4 after that. Our locations kind of change a little bit, but if you find our DSA page up on Facebook, Twitter, you should get the information. And please, I'd love the more people, the merrier.
Great. And one more thing from Sia. Like, are there 3 politicians that you really feel are not listening?
The 3 most important politicians are Andrew Cuomo, Carl Hastie, and Andrea Stewart-Cousins, who are the leaders of the governor, the leader of the state Senate, and the leader of the state assembly. And so they're the ones who are going to be shepherding this bill package through, and they're the ones who I think are going to I think we're going to move them. I think we're going to win.
And anybody can put pressure on these 3 elected officials, but especially if you live in their districts, please reach out to their offices. It looks like we have our first caller. So, caller, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Emily Rodriguez. I'm a part of Churches United for Fair Housing Youth. And I have a question. I would like to know if you guys, what's different this time for this fight from the previous ones?
Sierra Dennis?
Is the question that you asked, how is this fight this time around different from how it has been in years past? Is that your question?
Yeah.
All right.
So first of all, I want to shout out the CUF youth organizers. I think one of the best ways that it's different is that we've got some fresh voices in the fight. Too often we're talking about, you know, people make the assumption that rent control and universal rent control is about protecting some, like, older, like, rare apartments in the Upper West Side that, like, someone happened to catch and hang on to. I think that that's, like, that's a damaging assumption. The reality is that 45% of the city is rent stabilized or rent controlled, and it impacts our youth. And I think that Emily and the CUF youth are doing an amazing job making sure that this is understood as a youth issue.
And I would like to just say, too, that attending the housing march, what really showed me that was different this time around was the sheer volume of people that were willing to come out on a, you know, on a Thursday night, and the size of the coalition that Housing Justice for All has assembled. It really feels like there's no way we can lose when we have this many people standing up and fighting for housing justice. And we have one more caller, so thank you so much for talking with us, Elizabeth.
Hello?
Hi, you're on air with WBAI.
I'm Bobby from Flushing. See, we spoke before like a couple of times on here. Right now, you know, we're organizing from the church here in St. George's here in Flushing, which is like the new Long Island city where people are being pushed out of by Treetop and by Pinnacle. We met today, me and the organizer for Ming Kwan. We went to Councilman Koo's office, and we asked him that we need a resolution from the city council saying they support these new rent laws. We also went to Assemblyman Kim's office, and we told him he needs to sign on all of the bills. And then the other thing is we need some help here, because here in Flushing, we already got enough people for one bus, but we have enough people for 2 buses. And they told us they weren't enough funding for 2 buses. So I'm asking you if possible you could work on getting enough money for another bus here from Flushing, because, you know, we need to represent from Flushing because we are under siege here by Treetop and by Pinnacle.
Yeah, Treetop and Pinnacle are bad. We can definitely make sure that there are at least two buses from Flushing on May 14th. I can make that commitment, and I can follow up with the folks at Minquan, and I think you have my contact information, so you can follow up with me as well. And I hate Treetop. I can't wait to help control their rents so that they stop driving people out of their homes.
And what I think you really highlight, caller, is how widespread the suffering is and how widespread the assault is. It's not just in, you know, poor communities, or it's not just in communities of color. This is all across New York City and New York State, and everyone is suffering, and it's not sustainable. Do we have any other callers?
No.
Okay. Sorry. So, yeah, so we'll make sure that
we'll get two buses in Flushing.
Having too many people to go is not an issue. That's great. So let's talk a little bit about what's coming up and how you can get involved. So if you want New York City and state to be a place where everyone can live, you need to get involved and you need to fight with us. We've talked about the housing crisis in New York. We talked about the toolbox that you have as a tenant to fight against predatory landlords. And we talked about our vision for a future where everyone has a right to safe, affordable housing. But now it's time to take action. So first, demand that your elected officials support the 9 bills in the Housing Justice for All platform, which is located at housingjusticeforall.org. The second thing is to join or organize a tenants association in your building. Dennis talked a lot about how to start your own canvas. Mm-hmm. Reach out to your neighbors, see if there already is one. If you want help from DSA, you can email tenants@socialists.nyc, or you can also check the housingjusticeforall.org website to find a tenant union in your neighborhood. Third, to connect with Sia, Dennis, or any of us after the show, you can email us at revolutionsnyc@gmail.com or sign up for our newsletter by visiting our website, revolutionsperminute.simplecast.com. We are also on Twitter at NYCRPM. And just in closing, Sia, Dennis, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think we're going to win this year, so I'm excited to have all you listeners join us for our fight.
I also think we're going to win, and thank you for having us. And
Thank you.
I hope to see all of you on the buses, plural, that are going up to Albany. I hope to see you out on the streets at our next rally, and I hope to see you in your elected officials' offices, telling them that we're not gonna take this sitting down anymore. We're here. We're ready to fight for housing justice for all. So thank you for joining us today on Revolutions Per Minute. And tenants across New York State, we stand in solidarity with you as you rise up to fight against our broken housing system. A better world is possible.